lung cancer is traditionally a silent disease. Patients often present late with symptoms when the disease has already spread. Because there are relatively few survivors, there are relatively few people to advocate for more research for lung cancer, which is a major problem. And a third problem, I think, is because there is some stigma associated with lung cancer, because in many cases it is due to smoking, and so it is perceived as a self-induced disease. I would argue, however, that many patients started smoking when either they didn't know better or they started as teenagers when the tobacco industry really, you know, was targeting teenagers. And once you start smoking, it's very, very difficult to stop. It's very addicting.
But these days we know a lot more about the effects of smoking than we did before, or at least there's more of an effort to educate people about that.
That's true. But nonetheless, most people start smoking in their teenage years. And they do it as teenagers to be rebellious, because it's a cool thing, and because they think they are immortal and they can stop whenever they want.
You also mentioned that lung cancer is a silent killer.
Mm-hmm.
The symptoms aren't obvious in the beginning.
That's right. And it's because our lungs do not have a lot of nerve endings. And so it does not usually cause pain until it is quite far advanced and involving the nerve endings in the ribs. Otherwise, unless it happens to be in a place where it is blocking a air tube, a bronchus, or it is eroding into a blood vessel and causing bleeding, patients can go for quite a while not knowing that they have it.
What besides smoking leads to lung cancer?
Well, radon, certainly. But in many cases, we don't know. And in fact, we think that about 15% of all lung cancers is unrelated to smoking.
Does it have anything to do really with just the air that we're breathing these days or the quality of it?
There is some data to suggest that yes, that there's a higher incidence of lung cancer in areas that are more heavily polluted. But of interest is that many of these never smokers who come in are younger women, and they now have unique mutations in their tumors, particularly in genes called the EGFR gene or the ELK gene.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what causes those, but it's really cool that we're starting to develop treatments now that very specifically target those two gene mutations.
You're leading an effort now to raise the survival rates. The National Lung Cancer Partnership, briefly, what is it?
Yeah, so the National Lung Cancer Partnership is an advocacy group that we formed to raise awareness about lung cancer and to raise research dollars to help improve the outcome of lung cancer patients. And in particular, we just announced our new goal, and that is to double survival of lung cancer patients by the year 2022.
How do you plan to do that?
Several ways, one of which is to fund research that we think is going to make an immediate impact on survival. Make sure that patients know about all their treatment options, making sure that patients are getting their tumors tested molecularly to see if they have any of these unique mutations. And a fourth way is to make sure that patients start participating more in clinical trials, because we have a bunch of new drugs coming down the line, but unless patients participate in clinical trials, we'll never get anywhere.
In the meantime, are there steps a person can take to avoid getting lung cancer?
Well, clearly the big one is to not smoke. And if you do smoke, to quit smoking, for sure. Now, it turns out that your risk of getting lung cancer never goes completely down to zero, but it does drop dramatically. And your risk of dying from other smoking-related diseases also drops dramatically. If you are or have been a heavy smoker, there is now data coming out that screening CT scans for lung cancer can save lives. But I would also say that most physicians don't know about the new data regarding CT screening. So if you're a heavy smoker, you should definitely ask your physician about that.